Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
Brawl decks are here, the pre-constructed brawl decks, and they're really exciting for a number of reasons. One, we get a bunch of new legendary creatures, but also we get to tune these decks, not just into other brawl decks, but all the way up to EDH decks. And that's what we're doing in this new mini series, very short episodes, where we're going to take all the brawl decks one by one and tell you what cards we would put in there to level it up.
Yeah, so Throne of Eldraine cards haven't been fully spoiled at the time we're doing this. We won't be talking about those. We'll be saying, what 40 cards from the history of Magic can you just shove into these pre-cons and immediately get it up to speed as a commander deck? But before we get into all of that, in order to do this, you're probably going to need one or more of the Brawl decks. So you should go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone, and you can order all that stuff right now. You can also order the Commander 2019 stuff if you haven't got your hands on that. Also, Throne of Eldraine, mm-hmm. It's on the horizon. So
collectors, boosters, baby.
So you can pre-order that stuff right now. And again, when you use our affiliate link, you really are supporting this show, Game Nights, and all of our content.
Another way to support the show is directly at patreon.com/commandzone. Our patrons actually get to talk to us and me and Josh in Discord every day, and this idea for these episodes came from a patron. So you guys really do help influence the show and make it possible, and we call it one lucky patron every single week. So this week's episode, or this mini-sode, is dedicated to
Shane Ireton. Shane, you rock. Patrons. Also want to say, patrons helping out with the show a lot. The final way to support all of our content is with purchasing Ultra Pro products.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, so you know, the first thing we did when we got the Brawl decks was take them out and put them all into Eclipse sleeves, because you want to keep all of these cards in the best shape possible. And also, Ultra Pro has all of the theme stuff around Throne of Eldraine. So if you want a playmat, deck box, all that stuff, they've got you covered.
This is the best looking set in a while.
Yeah, the art on this set's crazy. I want that playmat with the Seb McKinnon art so mm-hmm. bad.
What I was going to say is that patrons get 4 extra shout-outs because we're doing 4 extra minisodes. Right. So we say 4 extra names.
Okay.
So thank you, guys. All right, let's get right into it. Today we are talking about Chulainn, Teller of Tales. Probably could have said that earlier on, but I'm sure you read the episode title as well. Chulainn is the new Bant commander, so we'll read this quickly and we'll just get right to it. All right.
This card's crazy.
I know. 2, a green, a white, and a blue for a legendary creature, Human Druid. It's a 2/4 with Vigilance. And whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card, then you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield.
Untapped.
Yeah. You can also pay 3 and tap Chulainn to return target creature you control to its owner's hand. So it's got a lot of similarities to every other Bant thing that Bant does, which is you like creature spells entering the battlefield and ramping.
It's just very generically powerful. It pays you off big time for stuff you already want to do. Yeah, it seems nuts, and I think everybody had the same feeling when they saw this card. And does it really need that last line of text where it's like, oh, if you happen to somehow whiff on all your card draw,
you can bounce
a creature and just get the chain going again.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't think we need to say much about it. It's already very powerful.
It is very powerful, and one of the things about this deck that was a little challenging is that it's generically powerful. It doesn't say, you know, you look at a card that, like, Prosh, and it's like, you want to make tokens and sacrifice them. Like, that makes sense. Chulainn is just, like, cast creatures benefit.
Yeah, so you do need to pick a lane in some respects of what you want to do past that.
Yeah. So what we did, like we did with the other decks and pre-cons from the past, is that we broke down the stats, and now keep in mind, these are 60-card decks, so you want to take 60% of the original estimation of what we said. So we said, like, 10 ramp.
You probably want 6 ramp in a brawl deck. Yeah.
So let's get
on. But again, we're going to push that back up to our correct numbers by the end of this episode. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a look at the
stats. We need to practice that. I know. We'll do better next time.
Yeah, it's like when you press play on 2 different things and you want them to sync up. It did. All right, the ramp in this deck is that there are 10 ramp cards in this deck, so it's actually very healthily already filled with ramp. 6 of them are creature-based, 2 of them are artifacts, and 2 of them are spells.
And also, Chulainn is a ramp card.
Yeah, exactly.
So that seems great.
A lot of ramp, yeah. 7 sources of card draw, but a lot of them are limited. A lot of them are like the look at the top 4 cards of your library, reveal a land or creature from them.
It's like draw 1 card, basically.
Yeah, and it's like a cantrip at the same time.
Well, Chulainn is also card draw.
Yep.
So you don't have to worry about those 2 categories as much as you might normally.
And this is one thing that we noticed when we played them as well, is board wipes. There's only 1.
There's just not a lot of board wipes in general in any given standard environment. So it's not that surprising, but yeah, one board wipe, that's tough in Commander.
Yeah.
It's tough in Brawl, too. I would want more than that.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen a lot of Brawl games go very long now.
Yeah.
And single target removal, there are 6 to 7 sources of them. Some of them are tacked on the creatures, some of them are spells. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, overall, actually, this deck has a very solid base. I think you can buffer up the board wipe slot. There's a lot of stuff you can do. You can also start putting in some interesting utility lands. And what we want to say is that we can't talk about all of the 4D cards here today, but we're going to have lists online for you guys to look at. And from there, you can be like, cool, I want X, Y, and Z, or I'm going to replace this with what you do what you want to upgrade this deck.
Yeah, but there will be a link in the show note that just says, here's the 40 cards we think you should put in. So you can also just get a look at all the cards that we think. If you just took these 40 cards, put it into this deck, you'd have a decent Commander deck.
Yeah. Okay, now one thing I realized when I was playing this deck is that even though I was drawing cards all the time, I didn't always have lands to put into play. So after a certain point, it didn't feel as great because you want to put lands untapped to keep the chain going.
Right.
And sometimes just drawing that one card isn't enough. And when you're going to 100 cards, you're going to want to make sure that you have more redundant sources of what Chulainn's doing without Chulainn actually needing to be on the battlefield. So
Chulainn is a magnet for removal.
After
we played these games many times off camera, and what the entire group learned after not very long is everyone would just hold a removal. So when Chulainn gets cast, they could immediately kill it. Because if you don't do that, the Chulainn deck just snowballs out of control. But if you do, then the Chulainn deck really sort of meanders. It doesn't do a lot.
Yeah, and the Chulainn also, like, it needs to draw the part of the deck that are really low CMC creatures.
Yeah.
So the elf balls and all that stuff to power it up. So let's talk about the highlights of some of the cards we're going to be adding. One of my recent favorites, and also we're keeping the budget range lower as well. We don't
reasonable. We're going to be around like $40 or so.
Yeah.
If you don't need us to tell you to add the really expensive. Yes, add Cyclonic Rift if you have it. That kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. Also, a lot of the cards that we add into the pre-cons are going to be lands. Because you can't use the current land base, you need expanded. Beast Whisperer is a card that's came out pretty recently, and I like this card a lot. It basically does what Chulainn does, and when Chulainn's on the battlefield, it acts kind of like what Yarrick is, which is like you get to double up on your triggers, and you're going to get a lot of creatures being cast, and then you're drawing 2 cards per time every single time, and there's a really good chance you'll be able to chain off with or without Chulainn being there.
Yeah, Beast Whisperer says whenever it's a 2/3 creature for 4 mana,
whenever you cast
a creature spell, draw a card.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I realized this, when you evoke a creature, you're also casting it. So cards like Mold Drifter all of a sudden read, pay 3 mana, draw 3 cards, put a land onto your battlefield.
And if you happen to have the 5, you can keep the 2/2
Yep.
If you want. Which is worth a lot because you can bounce that creature back to your hand. Yeah, you can also respond to the evoke trigger by
bouncing it
back to your hand. Yep. So you can, for, 6 mana with Chulainn's ability, evoke, draw 3, put a land into play, bounce it back to your hand.
And just get to do it every single turn. I mean, it's a little expensive, but the value
is... But I mean, Muldrifter is just 5 by itself, so to do that for 6 is not that bad.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, that's a really good point. And you get to do it again. Another card that basically kind of does... It adds to the chain if Chulainn starts the choo-chain train.
Choo-choo chain.
The choo-choo train. Now, this we could have done Ozzy Osbourne for this one.
What about... Come on, ride a train. Oh, ride it.
You didn't think you could get a song halfway through the episode.
Okay, all right.
Tattoo of a Benthic Druid. It's a green and a blue for a 3/3. And it basically says whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 1 life and draw a card. So this just keeps the whole chain going.
Yeah. Chulainn, choo-choo train, chain.
Choo-choo
chain.
Get on choo-choo train. Get on the train. It's Chulainn's. All right, we're done.
This episode is going to be 45 minutes long.
I know, right? You want to read this next one? This is your favorite card.
Sure.
One of yours.
If you have a deck and it has green in it, you're probably going to want to put Seedborn Muse in there. 3 green for a 2/4. It says untap all permanents you control during each other player's untap step.
You have a ton of elf balls in this kind of deck.
Yeah. And also untaps Chulainn. It allows you to use Chulainn on the activated ability on their player's turns.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it just got reprinted, so it's probably the cheapest it's going to be for a long time. So I would just encourage people to pick up one or two no matter what.
That's the main reason it's on the list, too. And a card like this pairs very well with Alchemist Refuge, a card that allows you to cast creatures at flash speed. And when you're untapping all of your elf balls and lands every single turn, Chulainn is going to draw you cards, do every single thing. So this gets you a little bit more flexibility in case Chulainn doesn't get immediately removed.
Well, and the thing I like about Chulainn a lot is that extra land drops mean that your value persists even if you get board wiped. So you can just be kind of like, I'm playing creatures, I'm doing it on your turn because I have Seaborn Muse and Vidalcan Orrery or whatever. And then somebody goes board wipe and you're like, fine, but I have 17 lands in play now.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I'm going to rebuild and have a huge hand.
Yeah.
Seaborn Muse also untaps in a way that we like to like untap a lot of lands. Like Peregrine Drake is one of those cards that you can play, cost 5 mana, but it untaps up to 5 lands when it enters the battlefield. So now you can have your Temple of the False Gods give you extra mana, as well as just, again, keep the choo-choo train going.
These type of cards seem like the best kind of cards to me with Chulainn. Is like you pay them for net 0 mana, and then but you drew the card and put a land into play. So it was a zero cost spell that drew a card and put a land into play. That would be like the most broken card in Magic, right?
It actually, it's almost as though you cast Time Walk.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, and there's a few cards like this that untap lands.
Yeah, Cloud of Fairies does the same thing as well, and they're all relatively cheap, which is great. They've been around forever. Now you want to get extra value out of like sort of your biggest impact creatures. So cards like Dreamstalker and Shrieking Drake are both really, really cheap ways to bounce permanents back to your hand. And if you're adding Flash onto it, then these can all of a sudden save Chulainn from a removal spell as well. Dreamstalker is one in the blue for a 1/5 randomly. And when it enters the battlefield, you return a permanent you control to its owner's hand. And Shrieking Drake is really efficient. 1 blue for a 1/1 flyer. When it comes to the battlefield, you return a creature you control to its owner's hand.
So between the two, you could just bounce them back and forth, draw cards, put lands into play.
Yeah, and
really
drawing
efficiently ways to do it.
Yeah. Well, you can also, with just 1 blue mana, return the Shrieking Drake to your hand.
And oh, return itself. Oh, yeah.
And as long as you're drawing a blue with Chulainn or putting a blue land into play, you could basically repeat this over and over again.
And worst case scenario, you just get all your lands out and draw a bunch of cards.
Yeah. Dreamstalker does the same thing, but these are all mad efficient and I think just very powerful generically.
Okay, well, how does this deck try and win?
Well, there are a couple of ways, and one of my favorites that I think this deck can actually pull off is Shaman of the Forgotten Ways or Biorhythm on a Stick.
Mm-hmm.
Biorhythm is banned, but this card is not. It's 2 and a green for a 2/3 creature human shaman, and you can tap it to add 2 mana in any combination of colors to only cast creature spells.
You're going to have like 90% creature spells in a Chulainn deck.
Yeah, and a mechanic that we did not see much of, but is very good here. It's formidable. 9 green tap. Each player's life total becomes the number of creatures they control. Activate this ability only if creatures you control have total power 8 or greater. There's a very good chance that by the time you have the ability to generate 11 mana, you're going to have a lot of creatures that tap for mana as well as are just on the battlefield. So having the formidable thing, I think, could happen with this deck by turn 5.
Seems pretty easy, yeah.
6.
Yeah, even just 4 creatures will do it. 2/2s, so yeah.
Chulainn and Shaman by itself adds 4,
yeah.
So it's a fun one. This also just ramps you, which is good.
So it's not bad by itself. It's pretty good by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 mana for a 2/3 that adds 2 mana feels like a standard playable, you know, kind of mana card. But in this case, the extra tax tacked onto it is pretty good.
This is an interesting one. This is one of those cards I think it's maybe we're going to have to start calling things Aetherflux Reservoir good.
Yeah.
Since Paradox Engine.
Although we all
banned.
Saw what happened when we did that.
This is a card that's just going in more and more decks, or it can go in more and more decks, and it's Aetherflux Reservoir. So you're suggesting this here because so many cards are going to get cast, especially like Shrieking Drake. If you played that with Aetherflux Reservoir out, here's what it does. 4 mana artifact. Whenever you cast a spell, gain 1 life for each spell you've cast this turn, and you can pay 50 life, and Aetherflux Reservoir deals 50 damage to any target. So if you if you can play one of those creatures that bounces itself over and over and over again, or just a lot of creatures because you're putting lands into play untapped and things like that, you can easily cast 5, 6, 7 spells.
Even in the EDH, even in the Brawl Precon format, I was casting 4 or 5 spells.
Yeah, not that hard to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a way to win.
And yeah, one of those easy, I guess it's easy with Chulainn especially, but it's definitely an easy way to close out the game very quickly. This next card I think is just super duper value, and I think it doesn't like necessarily lead you to a win, but it's not that expensive and it's very good in a deck like this. It's Abundance. It's 2 green for an enchantment. If you would draw a card, you may instead choose land or non-land and reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a card of the chosen kind. Put that card into your hand and put all other cards revealed this way on the bottom of your library in any order. So every single time you cast a creature, you're going to draw a card. Abundance says, all right, do you say land or non-land? And you're like, well, I have a land in hand. So non-land. You will reveal cards until you reveal a non-land card, and then you'll draw that card, and you'll have a land in your hand to put on the battlefield. You play another creature. Well, I'm out of lands. Name land. So this really pairs very well with Chulainn. You can almost guaranteed always have a land drop when you play a creature with Chulainn and this out.
I love this card in this deck. That's really smart. Because one of the ways that when you play the deck or play against it, you find the stopgap, the thing that kind of is the speed bump for it, is when it draws too much of one type and not enough of the other. So being able to just control that, it seems really, really powerful.
Yep. And Abundance. Just good name for what's happening here. Now, finally, I had two, I guess these are scarier and not so player-friendly win conditions. Yeah, they're mean.
Two mean cards?
It's Overburden.
It's okay. You can talk about some mean cards, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's true. They're also low on the pricier side.
He feels all bad about it.
I do. Because I just keep thinking, like, if I played this at MF Vegas, would I have felt bad? I have been like, for the most part, yeah.
I mean, it depends on what everyone else is playing.
True. It's all contextual.
If they play a Vorinclex on me, that's when I pull out one. Okay, well, I've been holding this card in my hand, but I'm going to play it now.
That's true. Yesterday you said, if you ever make me discard my entire hand, and then I'm just, it's over
all
for you.
All bets are off. Yeah, I can do, like, whatever I want
now. Yeah, like, I guess it's the same for, like, blowing up lands. These cards may not get all the way there, but they're going to get close. And they're a little more on the pricey side. It's Overburden and Mana Breach. Do you want to read Overburden?
Sure. It's one in a blue for an enchantment. Whenever a player puts a non-token creature onto the battlefield, that player returns a land they control to its owner's hand. So what happens is you play the creature with Chulainn, you return the land to your hand. I think what you'll have to, and then you put the land back out.
Yeah.
Can you put the same land back out that you bounce? I'm not sure if you can do that, but if you have two lands, you can start doing it basically, right?
Yeah, let's see. Whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. So this is the cast trigger, and then it's the enter the battlefield trigger. So the cast trigger happens first, so you can put the land in. But if you have a card like Field of Dead out, you're bouncing lands and you're playing them over and over again, and you're making all these 2/2 zombies across the
battlefield. Or if you even have one land in hand, now you're even on lands every time you play a creature, but everybody else every time they play a creature is down a land.
Yeah, that's why that's super
crazy.
Busted. Because every single time they cast something, they have to bounce something, but you're like, I'm net zero still. Mana Breach is very similar. It's an enchantment for 2 and a blue. Whenever a player casts a spell, that player returns a land they control to its owner's hand. Now, this one is even more brutal. It taxes you a little bit because now whenever you don't play a creature spell, you're returning lands, but you're still going to be super far ahead on lands.
Well, and most of your stuff is creatures. Like, by far, you're mostly creatures in a two-lane deck. So it's almost the same for you as Overburden is. But for everybody else, now it's like instants and sorceries and artifacts and enchantment. Oh,
man. Can you imagine playing a Rampant Growth and getting zero lands off it, basically?
I used to have this in my Nekusar deck because I would just play it and then just go, okay, everybody, good luck.
Try and stop me because you're going to be slowed down.
Yeah.
Wow, that's mean.
Yeah, so it's a really, really powerful card.
Yeah.
It's kind of the capper. You get like 5 or 6 creatures out, cast this, and just cross your arms and be like, okay, I can still do stuff because every time I cast a creature, I have the same amount of lands.
Yeah.
You're in trouble, though.
Yeah, everyone, the more they try and catch, it's like they're being slowed down by sludge. The more they try and catch up, the further behind they fall. All right, so those are my basic recommendations. Again, you can see the full list and what we added in the show notes below. There's going to be a lot more lands in there that are interesting. Like I mentioned, Field of the Dead is very playable in Standard right now and a great way to also end out the game because the deck comes with cards like Enray's Forerunners in there, Forerunners, which is a Craterhoof Behemoth effect. So there are a few ways to win with this deck, and hopefully you get to take Chulainn to the next level and upgrade it for a decent price.
All right, everyone, no end step and whatnot on these short episodes because we're going to be doing one of them for each of the Brawl decks. Special thanks to Ashlyn Rose and Craig Blanchett, who are our editors.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jeffrey Palmer does the 11 card animations behind us and the ones that start and end the show. Let us know what you think about these mini-sodes in the comments below. Hope you guys like it and hope you are able to take these Brawl precons to the next level.
All right, everybody, we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.